A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life appears, then to you will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. Verbum Domini. On behalf of Father Leonard and the Friars, Michael Warsaw, and the crew at EWTN, we wish all of you who are with us many graces and blessings on this joyful Easter day. And at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is in the old part of the city of Jerusalem, the revered places where our Lord's crucifixion took place, and not far inside the church where he rose again from the dead, his place revered as his tomb, that we had the opportunity some years ago, Father Mark and I and the crew, to do a series in the Holy Land. And because the line is often very long, people want to go into the place where Jesus rose from the dead, you're only given just a minute or two inside this small little compartment revered where our Lord's body was laid and where he rose again from the dead. So, of course, we're willing to wait in line. And Bob, who is one of our EWTN employees, longtime employees, and I were the two that went in together. And we were there for just a couple of minutes before we're asked to leave so the next people could come in. And we both had the same experience. We just didn't want to leave. It was just a place of such presence of God, such peace. A little foretaste of heaven, if you will, of our own resurrection. You know, that's what we taste when we receive the risen one in the Holy Eucharist. We have a little foretaste of heaven, of our own resurrection. And a very fascinating article was written just a couple of weeks ago, maybe just a week ago, about the archaeology that has been going on around the Holy Sepulchre. And so archaeologists in 2022, led by Dr. Francesca Romana Stassola, professor at Sapienza University in Rome, is heading up a team that was given permission, which is not something easy to do because of the three Christian groups that are there. You have to get permission from all of them. And yet she was able to obtain those permissions. And so a team since 2022 has been doing some archaeology and botanical studies as well. And so it was just like a week ago, there was an article about fascinating discoveries that they've discovered under the ancient stones there in the Holy Sepulchre Church. And what they've discovered is that they found coins, they found lamps, but something that they didn't expect, but that they did find, was some botanical evidence of a garden that was there. A green area that was between where our Lord was crucified and where he was laid in the tomb. Evidence of olive trees and grapevines that were in this area. Well, so there was a garden there. Well, today we had the beginning of chapter 20 in John's gospel, but if you remember, at the Good Friday service, we had the two verses prior to this. And what are the two verses prior to the one that we heard today? Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb where no one had ever been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, as a tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. And then today's first verse of chapter 20 is the next one. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. And so a garden. And a few verses later, we're going to be hearing this because during the octave of Easter, we hear the different resurrection accounts. And one of those that we're going to hear is of Mary of Magdala going back to the tomb, and she's weeping. And she's asked by our Lord, "What woman, why are you weeping?" And John says she supposed he was the gardener. She supposed he was the gardener. So here's another thing that points to this garden. Well, what does this all remind us of? It reminds us of the fall of our first parents in the book of Genesis. So the first Adam, St. Paul calls Jesus the second Adam, the first Adam is put in a garden to till it, to care for it. And then the first Eve is also there as well. But they are the ones who disobey God. They eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what is happening now? In a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, what does Jesus say? "Not my will, but thy will be done." He's going to do the Father's will, even with the pain involved in carrying that out, because of the glory that will be won for all of us. And we look at the new Eve, whom the fathers of the church speak of as Mary, the new Eve. And what does she say when the angel comes to her? "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word." So this fall in the first garden is now reversed in this new garden where there's this new tomb. He is not there. He has risen as he said. And so heaven has been opened for us. We heard that in today's opening collect where I prayed these words, "O God, who on this day through your only begotten Son have conquered death and unlocked for us the path to eternity." Now heaven has been opened for us. You know, here in Alabama, they say that you shouldn't plant your garden before Good Friday. So up in Iowa, it's after Mother's Day. But here in Alabama, they say Good Friday. That's when you can safely plant your garden. There's not going to be another frost. And it's very accurate, actually. So I planted some of my garden on Holy Saturday. And I have high hopes this year. It's in a new location. I've got some new plans, and I've got these high hopes. you know, that this garden's really going to flourish this year and do really well with the things I've learned. And all gardeners, I think, begin with very high hopes. It's going to be the best year ever. But there's always disappointments. Some things are successful, some things are not. You have unexpected things like infestations of pests, or the weather just isn't right for some things to flourish. And so there's always going to be some disappointment. Some of our hopes are realized, some are not. But what today's feast and solemnity proclaims to us is a hope that is never disappointed. Jesus is the new gardener who's opened the way for us to eternal life. And as we're in this Jubilee year of hope, it's a reminder, as Pope Francis has chosen that verse from Romans 5, chapter 5, our hope will not be disappointed. This is something we can always hang on to, this hope in our resurrection. Now, today is also Mother Angelica's birthday. She would have been 102 years old today. And so we have her portrait here. And it's quite interesting, and one of our theologians pointed this out to me, that Mother Angelica died on Easter Sunday in 2016. That was an extraordinary Jubilee year of mercy, you may remember. This year is an ordinary Jubilee year of hope. And her birthday, interestingly, is on Easter Sunday. And this is what we hope the network will always do. Always be a vessel of God's mercy to the world, inviting people to receive his mercy. That this network will always instill hope in the hearts of the faithful throughout the world, and even those who do not yet believe, that they will come to find the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ that will never be disappointed. And I invite those of you who maybe do not yet know the Lord, on this Easter day and this Easter octave, this Easter season, to invite the Lord to reveal himself to you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And he will come to those hearts that are seeking him, that are longing for him, who are looking for him. He does. He will, if you ask him. So this is the great joy and hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Finally, I'd just like to conclude with some words of Mother Angelica about the resurrection. Jesus, the joy of your resurrection fills my soul with exultation and the realization that my body too will rise someday. Like your five wounds, my suffering will also shine for all to see. The wisdom of the Father will be glorified forever, as all men see how his plan and will in my life marked out the glory that would be mine for all eternity. All the trials, sufferings, heartaches, and disappointments will seem as nothing compared to the glory your sufferings merited for me. They shall all seem like a dream, and the vision of your face will fill my soul with exquisite joy. I will roam freely in the love of the Spirit forever and ever.